Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
Were they denied a flag in season 2021, they swept all before them, 12-0 to finish on top of the ladder comfortably in the Ballerine, and they're about to play Motawarri in a second semi-final before the rug was swept out of underneath the season that was COVID impacted. At least we got a start, and this footy club, they're going to position themselves nicely for another crack at a flag in 2022. Their coach is Dom Gleeson. We do talk of the Torquay Footy Club. Dom's been good enough to join us on the season countdown. Dom, great to talk footy with you again, and hopefully we're talking about a season that we get a full run at, because it's been a horrible couple of years, and for such a footy head like yourself, it must be absolutely horrible.
Thanks, Keith, for having me. Yeah, it is. It's Yeah, where are we at? No one really knows, do we? It feels almost normal at the moment, but we know when the clouds come over and it gets darker at night that it seems to all happen. But yeah, we are no doubt there's some disappointment on last year's results. Were we robbed of a flag? I heard you ask yourself. It's been said to me a few times, but you know, still two games to go against quality opposition. So. And anything can happen come finals, but, you know, you can only go by what we did last year. And, we put together 12 unbelievable games with tackling adversity and injuries as well. So, disappointing, but we'll roll on and hopefully we have another shot at it this year.
Had Torquay played better football during your tenure at the club?
It's really hard to compare seasons. I think we're just so ready in 2021 to rip it apart just because we're starved of the year before. But, you know, fortunately enough, we have won a flag in my tenure at Torquay in 2017, and pretty hard to go past that. But I quite often had the argument with Aaron Nesbitt, who was a part of that side, who was my assistant coach, what team would win, and he backed in 2017. And I said, oh, I reckon 2021 side would give them a good run. We're in pretty good form and hoping to capture that, you know, in a few weeks' time.
Yep. 2022, you're probably, even though you're not the reigning premier, you probably are the hunted and have got the target on your back because of what you produced last year, and the list retention has been so good. Are you embracing the challenge of the expectation that comes with being probably the nominal premiership favourite, even though it is late February?
Yeah, I don't think we've really discussed that as a playing group. I feel like Torquay, Crimea River, right, but I feel like we're always the hunted. In any game we play, I feel like teams really step up and really save their energy for us. So it'll be no different to any other year. I think, we've prepared really well to this point, put a really clear focus into some conditioning. We thought that Ben Kennedy, our conditioning coach and assistant coach, we just put our heads together and thought, well, we just don't want the injuries that we had to tackle last year. So we feel fitter, the boys are looking fitter, and the numbers at training are pretty hard to manage at times. It's a really exciting place to be around.
Yeah. Do you feel the stop-start nature of last year contributed to those injuries, Dom, that the players weren't able to get the conditioning that they should have to play good Ballerine footy?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I don't know how other clubs did it, but it was really challenging in the regards of, you know, even our mental state. Like, what are we doing this week? Are we allowed to train? Are we allowed to tackle? Are we, you know, we've got to scan in, scan out. It's just so completely different for everyone out there. But I feel that it certainly added to the injury list. There was times where there was a game during the year we played Bowen Heads at Bowen Heads, and not only did we have 12 injuries going into it, and not our best players, but quite a few. We had four on the bench at halftime as well, and we just got away with the win there. So there was just injuries every week, and some bad ones, and majority of them were like soft tissue. That, you know, that's what we thought this year. Let's get them really fit, and hopefully we address those soft tissue injuries.
How fits Chedzi himself? Is he doing the work?
Yeah, he's doing the work. He's a pit bull. You can't stop him. when he's not training with us, he's out running the tracks as well. So he can certainly still play, but I think the Q's in the rack from that perspective.
I was going to say he's not contemplating a comeback, is he?
No, I think if we weren't in such a positive space with our list, I think he possibly could. Back in 2015, 16, when I first started, we're always reaching out for players, right, to fill our second side, but I don't think that'd be the case in the near future.
Yep. Can you give us an update? I believe you were one of the clubs that expressed an interest in the thirds comp. Have you guys been given any further clarity about how that looks, and are you still interested?
I think there'll be always interest there. I think, we've spoken to a couple of clubs just out of Hockley, just meeting up the street or whatever. And I think there's a place for it, but then logistically, ground availability, more coaches, more admin. It's a big job just for another team, particularly when we're trying to put more time and resources into our women's competition and our junior comp. So, when the rules came out, it probably gave me a clear indicator that we're probably leaning on the side of a no, just because we wouldn't be able to fill that side under those criteria. Yeah. So, we'll always throw it out there. I'm sure we could facilitate staffing and volunteers and stuff. But at the moment, I just had my concerns.
Yep. I don't want you to make a grand statement.
But yep.
Where's the future for Torquay? Because you are basically, you're a town the size of Colac, yep. Getting up towards what Wangaratta is in terms of, and you've got that place to yourself. I know you've got Surf Coast Suns coming through and they're outlying yep. areas with juniors and the like, but you're a big town now. Hopefully one day playing in the premier competition in Geelong, and whether that is called GFL or something else. And we know yep. Bruce Harwood's put restructure on the table. Did it sort of yep. pique your interest to say, look, we want to be part of that?
Oh, most certainly. I think being the club we are, and I'm not saying for 1 minute for people listening that we'd waltz in there and we dominate. Like there's some stepping stones that we'd have to go through and criteria we have to tick, but everything points in the right direction. But again, it's bigger than I am. Like if it was up to me, I'd love to go in there. It'd be selfishly great for my coaching. It'd be elevated to another level. I'll be finished playing. It'd be great for our junior players that are coming through. I've got a list of players here, Ham and Hurd and, we recently lost Loftus, that we're retaining or losing into the GFL competition because they want to better themselves. Now, as a coach of a BFL comp, I cannot argue against them about their self-development. I have to wish them well. Yep. There's no way I'll ever stand in the way by even offering them more money or anything like that. I love that aspiration side of some of the Torquay kids that have gone in there. Now, you look at some of the GFL clubs that are holding some Torquay players in there that are dominating the GFL competition. So great decision to go in there and have done so and come back. So I think, given time and a little bit of patience and, we'd be a really good club in there. Facilities all point the right direction. Our netball's really healthy. So, I can't see in the near future why it wouldn't be put on the table and really addressed. But then again, there are supporters, a lot of players that I've spoken to when it did, the subject did get raised, I love the town v town. Yep. I love that feel of playing Anglesey and then rolling across the bridge to play, Bowen Heads and Ocean Grove and going down to Port Arlington. So it's a town v town, but our catchment is so much bigger than some of these other clubs. Does that make you a better club? Not really, but the catchment will suggest that we'll get more players.
Yep.
And we'll get better players and we'll be able to retain. Because it's not an argument for me. If Sheldon Ham next year goes, I've torn this competition apart, I want to go into GFL, I can't stop him. Yep. What I can do is say, it isn't our plans to go into the GFL. Let's build a club around you.
Yep. Does that keep you locked in? Because, unless something went drastically haywire at Torquay. I suspect that your arrangement with the club will last as long as you want to coach the Torquay Footy Club. Is that what keeps you, other than winning premierships, but is that another, you know, as you said, great for your resume if you're coaching a GFL club? Is that is that the secret to some of your longevity at Spring Creek Reserve?
Yeah, I think so. I go back to your point. I think I feel like the squads that we put together and everything like that make me a better coach. And the help that I get, I'm just amazed at how much people just want to volunteer and help my assistant coaches and everything like that. But from a personal side of view, I'd love to coach in the GFL, but I can't see myself leaving Torquay. As long as they'll have me, I'll coach at this part of my life. I just feel like it's a really powerful club and we're really successful. You'll probably ask me later, mate, but I still feel like I want to play again too. So, and that's the aim. And I certainly wouldn't be doing that at GFL level, but because it is BFL level, I think I can get a few more games out. And then the transition into coaching would be amazing if we went into the GFL. But again, it's not up to me. And Torquay won't lose me if they don't go in there. It's it'd be selfishly awesome. But I love the fact that it's on the cards and we're discussing it. But it's a decision we made well over my head.
Yep. I was going to ask you, does a low to the ground midfielder who wears number two that occasionally likes to kick a goal going to find that? I think, what do you need, 6 or 7 for 100?
I think it is, King. And people may say that's the driving force. That's maybe a little bit subconsciously, but certainly a chance to win another premiership is driving me. Just the last 2 years, I would have been retired almost 2 years ago, mate, if we had finished the last couple of years, but I just don't want to finish on a COVID year. Just a horrible, horrible story.
Yep. How's your body now? Because last year you just had a couple of minor issues last year.
Yeah, the aim was to get about 10 out, and I reckon I would have got 10 out if we had to finish the season. I think I finished on 6 or 7 games, so maybe just shy of that. So the aim would be the same, to try and get that one out. You know, there's no doubt I'm aging and I'm slowing up, and I've got a strong enough, as I've said to you many times, I've got a strong enough committee and coaching staff that will say, Dom, it's time. And hopefully I call it before they do. But, you know, with the list we're putting together, there are some kids that will leapfrog me, that's for sure.
Yep. Holmes, McMahon, Carty, Raidmey, you've got some blokes who've got 3 in front of the age and a nearer the end than the start, but they're going to kick on. And I suppose, you know, you look at Tim Carty, he's incredible. In terms of he just, you know what you're going to get every week. He does it to a high standard.
Yeah.
But he seems to slip under the radar when you talk about very good Ballarine footballers.
No, Tim has been outstanding, and he's been one of those blokes that have always been there and very supportive of me, regardless of some tough decisions I've made against him. Last year, he and I spoke, and he just took a backward step in regards to, he just wanted to enjoy his footy, right? And he was happy to play twos if required and play senior footy. But it was almost like it flicked a switch in his head, and he just been playing really good footy. Now, it helps when you recruit other defenders around him. He's not taking the key forward, and it just lets him relax a little bit. But he can play on a tall and small, and a player that I'll always be indebted to for welcoming me into his club.
Yeah, absolutely. Kane Loftus has made the call to go up to St Mary's. I actually got to watch him train before Christmas at St Mary's, and I think he was still making up his mind, but he doesn't look out of place at GFL level, and I think he'll thrive in that environment.
Yeah, I think, and as I said, I've spoken to you about stopping kids going GFL. I actually did try to with Lofty. You know, he only played 6 senior games with us out of 12 last year. Out of the 6 that he didn't play, he was injured for maybe 3 of them. So coming back from injury, going through the twos, it's certainly up to it. Certainly up to that level. He's got speed. You know, his raw ability will get him some games, hopefully. But I just thought, if I could hold on to him for one more year, he'll be absolutely ready.
Yep.
We'll miss him. He gave us a lot of drive, and but you know. Kudos to him for making that brave decision. Wants to play with some mates. And I have been speaking to Trav Robinson, and he said exactly the same thing as you. He hasn't looked out of place on the training track.
Yeah. Baxter Minch just couldn't get a run at it with you guys, unfortunately, after coming down from Newtown. And we'll go back into the GFL, but to Geelong West.
Yeah, it's a bit of a journeyman, but I think we did our job at Torquay with him. He didn't play many senior games just through injury, certainly up to the standard of our level, and he'll go really well in there. But one, again, I did try and hold on to him. I'm not going to lie. I tried to hold on to him. But again, we spoke candidly, and his wish was that when he came down to us, he wanted to get his enjoyment back for footy and play with mates. And we think we did that, and he's gone into the GFL. So these players you're suggesting, I don't think from my side there's any hard feelings. Hopefully there's not on their side. It's just they're just wanting to go in and get better.
Yep. James Saker is going to take a role as an assistant coach at Werribee, where you were teammates for a number of years. He's going to play a role under Mick Barlow. And I suppose then the VFL fixture dictates how often you see him in a key defensive role for you guys.
Yeah, so really excited for him. His passion certainly lies in coaching. And the way he came down and played with us, he would have had to bite his tongue at times, being an old coach of Lavi. And he just did it so well, but you could just see the passion in him for coaching. So I'm glad he's made that decision to go and help his mate Mick Barlow in there. And, he'll be great at that. So hopefully we do get to see some games, but, time will tell when the fixtures come out. I think the VFL one will be more involved or evolved around maybe TV and things like that. So we won't know until last minute. I just hopefully he gets a kick every now and then with us.
Yep. Sam Wormald, the Warrnambool Whiz, is at the back end of his career. He's been outstanding. He came with you in 2015 and has been so reliable. Just weighing up his future.
Yeah, he is. He's had a bit on. He's had a child. He's recently got married, just got back from honeymoon. Looking fit as a fiddle. So it would be a waste from my point of view that he doesn't play. But, he's got his reasons for thinking about whether or not he goes ahead with it. I know one of those ones, he just wants to be fit and healthy. He didn't like waking up on a Monday and still being sore on a Wednesday. So, hopefully we'll get some games out of him, but we'll know within the next week or so whether he's going to have a run at it.
Yep. A player that joined the club, I wasn't not sure whether it was ahead of 2020 or last year, but you're very bullish about, was Sam Caruso, who came down from Wangaratta Rovers. Played 5 games last year. I think points might have squeezed him a couple of times. He would have been carrying 4 or 5. Can you give us an update on how he's tracking? And I suspect with the point off, it makes him more a 2 o'clock player this year.
Yeah, I think so. In saying that, we haven't seen a lot of him over the preseason, just got work commitments and travel. He has got a young lad as well that he has to mind on certain nights. So haven't seen a lot of him. Knowing him, he'll be keeping himself pretty fit. And, hopefully gets himself right for a couple of practice matches and we see what he's got.
All right, your practice matches. Wallen, who you play each year, you'll play them at North Torquay. And then back to the old hometown, Koroit, to take on the Saints. And that'll be a nice little test. If they roll out at full strength with the Dobsons et al., that will be a good little hit out and give you a bit of an indication of where you stand in a Hampden League. Probably that sits above the Ballerine, but maybe slightly behind the GFL.
Yeah, it's really difficult to tell leagues off the back of practice matches and how full strength we are. I still don't know how many boys will get down there, but it'd be great to see them mid-season and play against them and just see where it is all at.
Yeah.
Looking forward to getting home and playing on the home of the Brave down in Victoria Park there. And hopefully, I think they got their reverse raffle on down there, so buy a few tickets and then make our way back up the highway. But I stay in regular contact with Chris McLaren, their coach, and he's done a wonderful job again at retaining most of his players and if not recruiting more. So should be a good hit out. So hopefully they can field a good side as we do.
What a cracking first month you've got. You got Ocean Grove, you've got Barwon Heads, Port Arlington on Good Friday at Port, and then Anglesey to round out the first 4 weeks of April. 3 finalists from last year, including an Ocean Grove team, having spoken to Pete Davey, who are still a little bit chastened by the two results against your boys last year. I think they second time around especially, they were up and about and were hoping to give a good account of themselves, and you put the Young Bucks back in their box to the tune of 14 goals. So you expect a very up and about Ocean Grove in round one.
We always do, and particularly under Pete, I think he does a wonderful job at putting that list together. I don't know what happened both those days. I just think we got our back up and run away with a couple of wins, but they were certainly a better side than the result, absolutely. But, yeah, great first month. There's no easy games anymore, Kingy. As I keep going back to the first couple of years, you could always lock in a couple of rests in there, but certainly not anymore. We're really anticipating, to get hit pretty hard with some quality teams hunting us, and we look forward to that. I know my boys are, if the round one was tomorrow, they'd be ready to go. It's just, they're so eager to get going, and I've almost got to pull them back at times. But, looking forward to it. We actually have a joint training session against Newtown this coming Thursday. That'll entail just some competitive drills and some match play. And then we do the same with Grovedale Footy Club as well. And it's a chance for us coaches to learn a little bit more from GFL clubs and hopefully pass on some of our wisdom to some of those coaches as well. But, it's just a good opportunity to play against the best.
Yep. Got a track star for me, Dom. I know you don't like to individualise, no coach does, but who's somebody that you've really liked over summer?
I do. There's a rat pack, we call them. I think they all live together and they all train together. They're all really looking fit now. I don't want to miss anyone, but I'll just give a shout out to the Rat Pack. Yep. It consists of, I will give you names. Yep. You put me under pressure here. I've mentioned Sheldon Ham,
yep.
Inside midfielder, outside control. He's a fabulous player. Then we've got Nathan Misford. Yep. A forward, probably can play on ball now. Hurt his back midway through last year and had to finish up his season, but just got himself up and going. Who else we got in that Rat Pack? Oh, Cooper Hurd, half forward flanker, Ballarat boy who moved to the area last year. He just keeps getting better and better. I know I'm missing one. Oh, Seamus Doyle was another one, brother to Waylon.
Yep.
So Waylon's put together some really good season, but Seamus just keeps getting fitter and more skilled and putting some more weight on. I know I'm going to miss one, and they'll call me out on it too if they do listen to this.
but it might motivate them too.
Yeah, it might too. Just quickly, I got my list up here of players. I'm just having a quick look at them. One bloke to call out too is Will Tamasi.
Yep.
So Will's come back from Lawn.
Yep.
The guidance of Jack Holmer, really keen and just fit and an animal. So looking forward to seeing where we can play him. I've got him sort of marked for midfield forward, but I reckon I might expose him down back as well. So there's some names for you, but hopefully none of the Rat Pack are disappointed if I don't call them out.
Very good. Last question, anybody that won't make the start line round one, anybody carrying an injury that of concern?
Not at this stage. Maxi Hurley's been, he's had a really bad ankle midway through last year. So just pulling himself back, but hopefully he'll be. His aim is for Koroit to play Koroit and then have a week off and then play round one. So he's probably the only one really we're worried about.
Cool, Dom. Thanks for taking the time out to have a chat as always as part of the season countdown. I really appreciate your thoughts and thanks for being so candid about Torquay's aspirations, but also your hopes also for 2022. On top of that, I suppose it's 2022 is a little step in the journey for where Torquay Football Club and Netball Club want to get to as a sporting body in the coming years when it comes to sport in the region. We wish you the best of luck and hopefully you can build on that 12-0 2021 record.
Thanks, Kingy. Appreciate your support as always.
You've been listening to K-Rock Football's Season Countdown. Keep an eye on krockfootball.com.au for new episodes in the lead up to the 2022 local football season.